Yo, what up, Grizz Nation, and welcome back to another show, another post-game show, not just a regular show, but a post-game show. Listen, this tonight is a battle of two of the worst teams in the league, and so if you're here watching, listen, I can't thank you enough. The Grizzlies can't thank you enough because I promise you there aren't many people watching the game, let alone a post-game show. So much love to you all. But tonight we have Nate here. We're going to get into all of the game and talk a little bit through it. But also we have a little thing we're going to talk about, and Nate has not seen the Marc Gasol documentary just yet. So I'm going to ask him some questions on what he remembers about that, because I think it's been enlightening. And just so we're all clear, no spoilers alert. I have not seen the whole thing. I've only seen up to 40 minutes of it. And so this is all about the Marc Gasol trade, in a sense, when he was actually brought in, when Powell was here. His thoughts on Powell just overall. But listen, the Grizzlies win 110 to 108. They somehow escape in Detroit. They had to knock out the tooth of Jalen Duren to get by. Let's get to the show. Hey. Yo, yo, yo. What up, Nate?
What do we call Grizzlies wins?
Rare. Eagle rare. I get to break this puppy out tonight. Shout out to the Grizzlies for winning.
Yeah, absolutely. So Grizzlies win 110 to 108 over the Detroit Pistons. They were down, honestly. They were down. Jalen Duren tonight, after he went out after, you know, 5 minutes, getting his tooth knocked out. But overall, a decent game. The Grizzlies really showed up in the third quarter. Just kind of off the top rope, Nate, what's your thoughts on the game?
Shout out to Jared Roden for getting us pissed off Luke Kennard. pissed off Luke. I was thinking in the first half, I was like, I'm so tired of watching Luke Kennard play this mayonnaise basketball. And then Jared Roden pissed him off, and I was like, this is why we still love Luke Kennard. Jaren, shout out to Goon. Unbelievable tonight. 40 piece. To be honest, he should have had 50. He smoked a couple of layups and missed a couple of free throws. He could have easily had 50 tonight. But it was fantastic. Thank God for Jaren Jackson Jr. You know, just unbelievable talent. We're so lucky to have him. Anyone who hates Jaren is just – it's crazy how silly they must be inside. But I just wanted to get that out of the way. I think all in all, I mean, you have Jaren looking awesome. You have Jordan Goodwin having a great game. You have Lamar Stevens doing Lamar Stevens stuff. Luke did awesome as well. The story of the night to me is Brandon Clark. Like, Brandon Clark looked like Brandon Clark. He still is missing a little bit of the bounce.
Yep.
Right? It's like he's missing a little bit of the ability to really get up like he was, but he's working his way back. But all in all, he looked like Brandon Clark. Like, right. That it was – outside of missing a little bit, a couple inches on the vert, looked unbelievable tonight. It was awesome. It was awesome to watch. So, super cool watching that. Cade Cunningham's awesome. There's so many good players on that Detroit team. It's a shame.
Why are they bad? Why are they bad?
I mean, we both know what I think.
No, tell me. Like, your thought.
I think they have a fraud coach of the year.
Oh, okay. That definitely is true. Yeah, but, like, I mean, they haven't won – and I'm not saying that, you know, in the past, like, they just didn't have a good coach either, which they might not have been either. But I will say that, like, there is a collection of a lot of good parts. But, like, really what does make this team go? And Benedict, the final score was Grizzlies 110 at the Pistons 108. We're going to keep scrolling on the bottom just so in case anybody does come up late, if you need to see it in the future. We'll try to make sure we always have it there, because
you're going to get sassy.
No. I forget to put it up. So I'm not going to get sassy, because I usually forget to put it up. But I will just say, we're going to try to always have it there just to make sure, you know, if you do have a question, you come in late, whatever. But I just don't know what this team is. And I think what it comes down to is it's a lot of good pieces, but it's not like they don't have an engine. Like, that makes sense. Like, listen, looks like a who's the engine? Is it Cade?
It's Cade. Cade and Duren are both the engine. Jaden Ivey can be an engine. The problem is they haven't had any of the time to put it together.
Okay.
Like, you think about what's happened over this course just this year. Just this year. And this is the first year I feel like Jaden and Cade have really had a chance to play together. And for the first half of the season, they didn't. They had to cut Killian Hayes to get Monty Williams to play Jaden Ivey. Like, there you go. That sums it up. They haven't had any time to actually work this out on something that should have been worked out before the season started. I say that. I don't know what their injury situation was like. Maybe someone was injured during a lot of the summer. Yeah. I don't know.
No, but absolutely.
You got guys that should have more time to play together and have more chemistry, and they can't. And then you have guys that just don't make sense, like Malachi Flynn, Evan Fournier, Jared Roden. I mean, I don't know what the injury situation looks like in Detroit, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
But they're starting a guy who the Grizzlies just let go after a 10-day early in the year tonight. Jalen Duren goes out after 5 minutes, which, to be clear, definitely impacted the game tonight.
Definitely. He's a monster.
But and then like Chimezie Metu, another guy the Grizzlies cut earlier this year. So I don't know if it's just one of those that they. Yeah, Metu was supposed to come and they cut him. They kept Lamar Stevens instead.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. In the trade. I got you. Yeah, go ahead.
Exactly. Yep. You're but right. You got a bunch of guys playing that, like I said, I don't know. They have Buddy Boeheim. That's awesome. Yep. Marcus Sasser's not even playing. I mean, it's just a bunch of pieces that don't really fit outside of Cunningham, Ivy, Duren right now. I mean, even Wyman is probably not long for Detroit, right? He's trying to find his footing. It'll probably be somewhere else. So you look at their team, they've really got three pieces that they'll probably even like want to keep for the most part, outside of guys who just happen to be kept there. So there's not much chance, and the coach did not help that at all with the beginning of the year, not playing your best players, right? I mean, the stuff with Jaden Ivey at the beginning of the season was just asinine. I mean, when you have to cut Killian Hayes to play Jaden Ivey, what are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing? So
absolutely.
They have enough players to figure it out. Will they? I don't know. It would be a shame if they don't, because I think Ivey and Cunningham can learn to play next to each other. And Duren is just – I mean, what I would give to have Jalen Duren on this team, right? He's just unbelievable. So we'll see. There's a lot of things that are working against them this year, but some of it's internal too.
Last thing on the Detroit Pistons, I do love Jalen Duren on the driving the line, which I'm on now. They literally, like, it's been a joke. I showed this last time. you'll like this. I showed this on the show, like they always go around and ask for your pick. And so I said it was my turn. I put my glasses on, asked for like the one shot, and it came to me and I go, all right, kids, let's talk about a wagon. All right. This is the Radio Flyer, 100 years of the little red wagon. But guess what? You know who our wagon is? Our wagon is Jalen Duren. And I gave my pick out.
He plays 5 minutes.
it was great. So, but Jalen Duren. What wouldn't you give up to get Jalen Duren on his team?
Jaren Dez.
You're okay with anybody else? How many picks would you be willing to give up? I'm not talking about the assets, whatever. I'm talking about, let's say it's trash assets, but picks. You're willing to give up two first and then some throw-in pieces because he doesn't make much money because he was obviously a middle-round, first-round pick.
And he fits.
And he fits perfect.
Like I was about to say, like almost everything you could possibly ask for, he fits.
What do you think the Detroit Pistons would even think about that?
I don't know.
They have James Wiseman now. I don't know what their contract status looks like, but obviously they do have him, and two first round picks could help them for the future. I'm not, and maybe even this year. I'm talking about this year's pick plus next year's pick, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, you could. I mean, I don't know. I was like, it's one of those things where I'm like, no way. And then I thought about it, and I'm like, oh, they got Cade. That was a pause noise that just came out of me. By the way, I apologize to anyone who has their family with them. But you got Jaden, Cade, Asar, Wiseman. I don't know, man. They're just in such a purgatory,
right
now. It's just hard to say what they would do. But like, every time I think about it, I'm like, no way, right? Like, there's no way they do it. So
I agree.
I want to talk myself into it, but nah.
Yeah. Well, okay. The reason I approach that question, okay, is for simply, so they're obviously in purgatory, just like you said. I think they're pieces away from being good because I think their ancillary pieces are not going to make them a playoff team even next year. Like, right. So my thoughts are, is if you were to get two first round picks and then somehow the ping pong balls fell in a way of the Detroit Pistons falling down to like six or seven, and then the Grizzlies jumping. So in a sense, switching spots as they currently stand. That means like, hey, they're already pissed off, right? Because they're not getting who they thought they might would get, and they might have a guy. They could keep their seven pick. The Grizzlies give up their second and next year's to trade off one guy on their team. I think they would at least think about it. And the reason is because there's so many centers in this actual draft. That's the only reason I'm actually like, I'm talking about it is a wet dream. I get it. But I'm also thinking like, hey, there's potential. And I don't want to go too far in it, but I think there is potential that it could be something.
Stop saying that phrase. I just don't see. They're like, who are you going to get? Who are you going to get that's Jalen Duren? Honestly.
I agree, but like, is he what their coaches fit? Obviously, every coach, every front office has a certain fit. Like, he might not run because the spacing isn't there, right? So you might want
something. He's not DeAndre Ayton, so I think he's probably okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I would definitely give up Luke. I'd give up anybody outside of the big three to get him. Black Ninja DJ saying multiple first round picks. They probably want Luke for veteran shooting, probably some minor pieces as well as maybe Conchar. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that's a big haul, but you're talking about like you possibly can go back in and get another center, plus you can get assets for the future.
Well, there's a definite 2K world where that works.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, if you look at Jalen Duren, who's just getting 20 and 20s all over the place, it feels right. Like it's like you have to be dumb to come off of that. And this is year one of Jalen Duren or year two? Just year one, right?
Year one.
Yeah. I would love for them to do that and go for that. And I think could conceivably be a win-win. I think you're crazy if you come off of Jalen Duren.
Yeah. Wow. All right. So I have a great stat by Sean Coleman. Thank you for sending that to me. And so listen, great. Real quick, before we get off of the Detroit Pistons, King Meeks wants to know and let us know that Goon wants to trade Jaren for Caitlin Clark. Listen, it's rumored through TMZ. So we know that's a very credible source for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure she could rebound.
She probably could. You know what she can do is fill it up. Shout out to the Iowa Hawkeyes tonight, going over the LSU Tigers. But all right, let's get back to the game real quick. We went off way too long on them. But I just – that team interests me because I think that Detroit has so many good pieces. I just don't know if they'll be able to, like, figure it out. But I think that they're a good team, good assets, and the team that we really would need. We need a team that has a lot of assets to be able to make our team even better because we're willing to give up a bunch. So we just need to be able to get the asset.
They're much more likely to come off of Ivy than Duren, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. Because you don't need that ball handler if you already have Cade. Yeah. I just don't know if I believe in Cade as being the focal point of your team. I think you need to have somebody better than he has. He's like a 1B or 1C, in my opinion.
I don't know. I think he is stuck in Detroit. I think he could be a 1A. Jury's out for sure, yeah. But I'm not leaning good. The opposite way of you.
All right, let's go to the stats tonight. Luke Kennard. Wow, Austin coming out. I'm interested in trading Bane. Get out of here. Luke Kennard, 19 points, 5-11 from deep, 7-14 overall. Also had 8 assists. Good game out of Luke Kennard for sure. But GG, 11 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. That's the most assists I've seen GG in a long time. And so he's actually being able to move the ball a little bit more. Aldama, just kind of a throwaway game. Not much there. And then Scottie Pippen Jr., another just kind of throwaway game. I wonder if his back is tightening up on him a little bit because he doesn't look as explosive as he had been. Brandon Clark, 15.7 rebounds, 23 minutes. We were up in the minutes now. We're up to 23. And then Jake LaRavia, 12 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. And then Jordan Goodwin. I always had to give a shout to him for the simple fact that 4 points, 5 assists, but 13 rebounds.
That's crazy.
From your guard position. And the last guy, Gunner Shooter's favorite player, Jarrett Jackson Jr., 40.7 rebounds, 2 of 3 from deep, not settling, especially when he's the biggest guy on the floor. That's why I do not like James Wiseman, because he is not a center for your team. He would not a center for our team. I don't love him. If you want to bring him off the bench as your 10th guy, I'm fine with that as your, you know, backup emergency big. But overall, Jaren, a great game out of him. So anybody else that you want to hit on?
We talk about BC at all?
A little bit, not much. BC obviously looks better. He looks like he's getting getting more confident in a sense. And I think this is the best thing for him this year, is just kind of finding his confidence.
Well, I can't help but be crazy encouraged. I'm crazy encouraged by what I've seen from Brandon. Like, this game in particular, it was, like we said earlier, everything other than the bounce itself. So, also, side note, I know you said tonight, it's like 7:30, which is the earliest we've ever done one of these things, I think. And I have a whole sunset in front of me right now. Like, we're not even
close. I like your color right now.
It's dark. Yeah, I know. It's all like nice, but there's a cloud in front of me. It looks just like Bowser. And I was like, oh, it looks like Bowser. And my ADD brain was taking hold. So I wanted to say that. But outside of the bounds, he looks just like the Brandon Clark of old. He is all over the boards. He's getting to his shot. He's getting to the rim. He's just creating chaos, and it's awesome to watch.
Right.
And so I just think about, okay, he's got that. He looks like he already has the fear out of his system, right? We talked about he looked pretty timid in the first game back. To be clear, I did not watch the game on Saturday. I saw the score at the end of the second quarter. I was like, yeah, I'm not going to watch the rest of the game tonight. But I don't even know if he played, to be honest. But just think about him having an entire summer where he's not worried about his leg. He's just working on, one, basketball, but two, getting back to that form. And it'll take him a while to come back in, right? But,
sure,
dude, it just is awesome. It's like, okay, we're going to get BC back.
Yeah.
So it's just awesome to see. I mean, and shout out to a dude coming back off an Achilles. And he's, like you said, only 5 games in, not even. Unbelievable what we're seeing from him. So reasons to be encouraged. I had fun watching the Memphis Grizzlies tonight, which is not something I thought I'd have until next year.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I saw, so I had a game tonight, as Mondays are. It was the same time. And it went to double overtime, which is stupid. But it went to double overtime. And so I missed a lot of the game, but I did catch from the second half on. And so I did not see the bad part of the first half. It looked like, from my understanding, from highlights, it looked a little sluggish, looked a little, just kind of lazy. Game overall, but the second half looked great in a sense of, it looked like some of the guys kind of woke up a little bit. And this late into the season, I get not giving everything you have. I get it, especially if you're Jaren. But the fact that he put up 40 points tonight, it goes to show that he can dominate. I need to see him, when the best players on the court still demand the ball. That's what I really want to see, because I don't think we've seen that. And ever since, when we do see BC, but also Bane on the court together, I have not seen Jaren actually demand the ball. And that's what I really want to see this year. And so I think we'll hopefully see that again. D'Angelo's asking a question here about Vince. I don't know if we're going to, I don't know. I don't think we'll see him again, honestly. If we do, it'll have to be because he's super healed and there's no issue there. But from my understanding, it is a kind of a hip flexor in a sense. I believe that's what it is. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's a hip flexor. And because of that, I say no. And the reason I say, hold on one second, hip flexor strain in a right low back. The reason, I'm sorry. Sire.
That's right. He has a patellar tendonitis.
Yeah. He's sorting.
Yeah. There's no reason to play him if there's any kind of risk.
Yeah.
I thought he was listed as doubtful not too long ago.
He was. He was. And I think he tried to run back up and then he went back out.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, if he can play, then I feel like he's healthy, I think they probably will. just to get him playing with these guys, just like Gigi's getting to play with these guys. But I don't know. I'm not super attached to it. I would love to see him again. It's all dependent upon his actual health status. Yeah. So if there's any risk of further injury, then no, not a chance.
That's not worth. That's it. Exactly where I stand. And that is not to answer your question at all. I'm sorry. But the reason we say that is because, like, literally, like, you have to make sure your guys are healthy at this point. I know he wants to get on the court, but in the other sense, you don't want to win either. Like, so I think everybody is torn, just like Detroit is torn. Like, they want to play, but this late in the season, you don't want to play your guys. The other one, Desmond Bane, back soreness. When you see soreness, just overall, if everybody, like, just so we're clear, soreness allows you to say whatever you want because everybody is sore. And you can't say that's not true, because if you asked every player on the court, they would probably say they're sore. And so it allows them to stay out of any NBA fines. So if you see soreness, more than likely, that's the reason, especially this late into the season. I would assume he's had back issues before, so he's probably ramping up. So we'll see. And he even has Big Die. Bro, I feel you. Even Big Die sore.
Yeah, I was about to say, I have ace bandage to my hamstring right now. So, wow. Unfortunately.
Yeah. All right. So, Conchar was doubtful tonight. He should be getting back soon. He has that right plantar fasciitis. And so he should be coming back soon. And so we'll see. But I think we'll see Bane again. I think I'll go ahead and say, I think we'll see Vince Williams again, but just understand we have 13 days. I think remaining. The last game is the 14th. We have 13 days left total. And so if you're asking about injuries, I necessarily don't care about the games played. I believe Big Dice have 9 left. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 left. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games left. And we have 13 days total remaining, which that means is if you can't get back healthy in a week, you're done. You're not playing the last two like games. Like, at that point, it's going to be dead. So, but we do have, looks like we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We're going to do 7 more of the 7 games. So if everybody's, you know, just aware, we are going to miss the Marc Gasol game. Which is 76ers at the Grizzlies on 4-6. And so we'll definitely miss that. Anything else you have in the game? Because tonight, you know, I think it was fun. It was a good game, but I don't want to spend too much time on it. We'll hit on some Grizz trivia, and then we'll kind of talk about the Mark doc a little bit. You haven't seen it, obviously, so it'll be enlightening. But also, anybody that has seen it, we'll kind of just talk through some of the discussions, in a sense, from that has kind of come out of it. So let me make sure. Wayne has some chat suggestions. Wayne, go ahead and put them in there. After the break, we'll discuss them before we get to Grizz trivia. If that's cool with you.
Hey, I like this one. Seven left, and then next game will be 6 left, and that can be our new chat name. Just making sure we bring it up and we see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Wow. Wow. All right, real quick, the comment section is always. Is from Street Cars of Memphis. If you need any kind of modification, just regular maintenance done to your car, whether it is oil change or you need, you know, any kind of fluid changed in there, if your car is shaking when you're driving, not good. Go down there, see your guys at Street Cars of Memphis. They will check it out and hook you up. Go ahead and use the code GRIZZLY1, and you'll receive a $55 regular oil change and then $65 for full synthetics. And so there's huge savings taking place down at Street Cars in Memphis. Go to check them out online at 901scm.com, or you can call them at 901-323-3332. Go ahead and schedule your oil change, maintenance, or customization service today. All right, that's all we have on the first segment. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll get back here to Grizz trivia. Yeah.
Well, Vince Williams is the closest thing we've seen to Tony Allen.
100%
Tony Allen. I think that has been really thrown around very loosely in a kind of just joking manner for a lot of people, because, you know, everybody for the love that we have for TA, such a big factor in this franchise. We throw that grandson thing around lightly because it's kind of funny on Twitter, but he is the closest thing to Tony Allen that has been so far in a Memphis uniform. And I think that's very, I mean, D'Anthony Melton might have been the other, but to your point, that's what made me think about this, is that the fearlessness that he plays with, that's what Tony Allen played with. He did not care who you were. He doesn't see a name on that.
Tune in to The Daily Grind with Mark King and Luke Hatmaker at 1 p.m. every Monday through Friday, live on the Bluff City Media YouTube channel.
Welcome back to Grizz 901. I am Daniel. That is Nate. We have a fun rest of rest of the show for you for as we go throughout here. Make sure you hit the like button if you don't mind. That helps us a lot as we get into the last. We have seven left, as we all know.
You know, pews. From flower shops to commercial landscape maintenance, Pews has been around for 30 plus years servicing the Mid-South. But did you know that Pews also does residential lawn care? Pews Residential Spray can take care of all your weed control and fertilization needs. If you want to create that perfect weed-free lawn, then call Pews Residential Spray today. Actually, it's pretty late. Maybe tomorrow for a free estimate. 901-633-2118 and let them know the Grizz 901 crew sent you. Remember, with Pews, you get big company strength, small company values, and kings of transition. That's what we're here for.
Wow. I'm not sure what happened, but if you would, do me a favor, hit the like button if you're watching over on YouTube. If you're watching over on Twitter, I appreciate it. Hit the like and the share, but also join us over on YouTube as we're trying to kind of grow this platform even bigger. In the future, I believe it's going to go to like a membership type thing. I don't think that you'll ever have to pay to watch our show in a sense. But I do think that we're going to try next year doing some kind of membership type thing where if you are a member on here, you would get the extra shows that we're going to be bringing behind like kind of a paid wall. But also you get access to the Discord. And then we do have some exciting stuff in the off season. That we are working on that should be signed, pen to paper, I believe, in the off season, not with us, but potentially some other people that are coming on to join Bluff City Media. So make sure you tune into that. It's gonna be fun. All right, Wayne's got his stuff here, and so all right, I'm gonna try to read them. I'm seeing the dashes in between, okay? Because at first I didn't over there. So the Mad Bear Crew, I like it. I like how it's like. Mad, like, you know, like the Bear Crew in a sense. Paul Form Platoon or Platoon, sorry. Bill Platoon. Street Platoon. Platoon. Bill Street Brawlers. The Bango Brigade. But you guys have to salute every time you refer to us because soldiers to get through the season. All right. Anyone that you see, I have my thoughts, but anyone you see?
If you took out one word, I love the Paul Platoon. I love Paul Platoon. I don't know why, but I love that. Bango Brigade is good. And I will salute anyone who salutes us as soon as you get into it. Like, if you get into the chat and we get a little salute emoji from everyone, because I feel like we should also get a salute as well. But I like Paul Platoon. I don't understand the form part of that, Wayne. That's the only part I don't get to that. But Paul Platoon, I like that a lot. I know which one you like, I think.
Which one?
I think because of your other interests, you like Beale Street Brawlers.
I don't. I do. Okay. Listen, that was not my first one. What the heck is that thing? Now we got all this like what is that? Who is that? This is Big Van Vader to me,
dude.
See, this is Big Van Vader to me. Speaking of wrestling, that's Big Van Vader or Big Van Vader. Okay. All right, so like the Mad Bear Crew. I don't know why. Whatever reason, I like the Mad Bear. I would not pick it, but I like it. But I do think the Beale Street Brawlers.
Poor form.
I wonder if we could some. I like the Brawlers. I don't like Beale Street part of it. I think it's fine, but I like the Brawlers. I just don't know how to include that.
I love Paw Platoon. It's not Paw Patrol, so I can get behind it.
But is PP an issue?
Only if you're Clay Thompson. Oh, bringing it full circle. That's for the all the OG fans out there.
Tiny wiener syndrome is what that is referencing.
TWS returns.
Yeah, that was, if you missed it, that was last, I think it was last year during the playoffs.
It was in regular season. Maybe like the Christmas Day game or something. I don't even know. I think it was a Christmas Day game, probably.
Yeah. Anyway, so I like the, Bear Crew, their Mad Bear Crew, the, Paw Platoon. I like that. All right. We'll see. We'll keep playing on that. Thank you, Wayne, for that. And the rest of you, keep, if there's anything else that you have on it. Do y'all like the Brood? I know that's completely wrestling. I know me and you have talked about it. I love the BCM Brood, right? The Bluff City Media or Bluff City Brood.
Yeah.
Bluff City Brood. I love that the most. We just don't know if the Brood would make sense to you all because it is like a gathering of people, like the Brood. And I know that it's on, obviously from, wrestling, whatever, back in the day. But like, I think Bluff City Brew would be awesome, but we'll see. I don't know. The Cocaine Bears.
Have you seen that movie?
I have not.
Dude, it is an asinine movie. Absolutely absurd.
But I think we can have something funny, like a play off of words, off of something. There has to be.
We get to Cocaine Bears mode. Every time Jaren does well, Goon goes straight into Cocaine Bear mode. So that makes sense. I can get behind that every once in a while. Hope we could just pretend that we're Twitch. It's like, hey, chat, thanks for the donation, chat. What's up, chat? What do you think about this, chat?
901ers? Man, I know. See, that's too much 49er for me. All right. Anyway, I can't do the 49ers. I don't even remember who that was. Anyway, all right, let's get to Grizz Trivia. All right, Nate, this is straight from Sean Coleman. If you're not following Sean Coleman, you can follow him over on Twitter at StatsSAC. He is a fixture of the Grizzly community for sure. So make sure you tune into that.
Real quick, shout out to King Meeks. Cocaine. Hello, Drogue. Love it.
All right, let's go. This is going to be a Grizzly-centered question. I love the Grizz gang. The gang part in Memphis, I struggle with that. I struggle with gang and I struggle with mafia because of Memphis. Anyway. Players in NBA history under the age of 25 with 150 more assists, 100 or more blocks, 100 or more threes, 75 or more steals. So 150 assists, 100, it says assets, 150 assists, 100 blocks, 100 threes, 75 steals, right? So doing a lot in a single season. Under the age of 25, there have been four people to do it. Who's the one guy on the Grizzlies that you would think has done this?
Jaren.
Okay. Who are the other three guys that have done this in a single season?
How many threes?
100 threes.
I'm going to say.
And all of these guys are within the last 5 years, maybe 8 years. There's one guy that's retired now. The other two are actually active.
So I want to say Wembanyama just because I feel like I should include him in any of these.
This year, 100% Wemby. Okay. So it's Wemby and Jaren, and there's two other ones, and they're both obviously, tall guys.
Yeah. Cat?
Nope.
Okay. Do they have to be 25 and under now, or they were 25 and under?
They were when they did this.
Okay. Oh, you said one's retired. Duh. Who was the other one? Is another one this year?
No. Okay. Well, I don't think so. I'm almost certain it's not.
Okay. I was going to say Chet.
I'm sorry. Yes, there's no way because neither one of these guys are 25.
Okay.
They're easily in their 30s.
If Chet did it the same year as Wemby, that'd be pretty wild. Because Chet's had such a good year that just has gotten Wemby'd into oblivion.
Yeah.
One
black guy, one white guy.
Okay. Mark?
Mark has not. It's nobody on the Grizzlies.
Okay, okay. You said Grizzly center. I was like, maybe there's one more in there. So one was retired. The other one's still in the league.
Dominating in the league.
Dominating in the league?
I would think so.
Oh, Jokic.
Nope. Ryan's really? Favorite player. Well, it used to be Ryan's favorite player.
Ryan's favorite player? Oh, I don't know. It's like a band you don't know. It's like players who Ryan likes. Dominating the league.
They're both in our conference.
They're both in our
conference? I'm sorry. I'm confusing you now. There's one guy, he retired. He's in our conference. He retired.
But he was in our conference.
The other guy was as well. He was a Grizz killer for forever in our conference. And now he's traded four different teams. Still dominating.
Was a Grizz killer.
Yeah. He kills everybody, so.
Okay. Yeah, you did confuse me.
One guy has a statue. He's white. Not from America.
I was thinking Dirk.
Dirk.
Dirk did?
Dirk.
I don't imagine Dirk getting that many blocks. He was one of the first names I thought of.
Younger, he very much so was a shot blocker type guy. And then the other guy should be pretty easy. He is still dominating. He's always been a part of a trio.
It's not KD, right?
It is KD.
No way.
Yep.
I don't think of him as getting a bunch of blocks either.
So that was the thing is because of, talking about back in the day, like more active. And that's what I think. King Meeks said, King Meeks and Ryan back to back were Dirk and KD. And so there's some other people that came through here, but it was so the four people who have, they in one season, 150 assists or plus, 100 plus blocks, 100 plus threes and 75 plus steals, Kevin Durant, Dirk Nowitzki, Wimby, and then Jaren. Really the only two people ever to do it were KD and Dirk until this season. And both Wimby and Jaren have both done that this year.
That's surprising. The blocks one is what got me on both those guys. Every other stat made sense to me. That's cool.
Yep, it is cool. Shout out to Sean at Stats SAC. One of the good guys. He's probably, if you ever talk with him on Twitter, like in a room or something like that,
he's probably very nice right now.
Yeah, very nice guy. Nicer in person. And sometimes that doesn't translate because usually you don't know people. So you're trying to be nice, whatever on, social media. He's even nicer of it. He's like a big teddy bear in person. So shout out to you, Sean. One of the good guys. All right, let's get into the Marc Gasol stuff. And so I know that you have not seen it yet, but do you remember, this is the main thing I want to talk about because I'm only 40 minutes in. And if you have any questions or any thoughts in the chat, by all means bring them. I want to deep dive into it. If they're past when I've actually have, what I've seen so far, I'm going to have to wait. But next show, promise me, we'll both finish it. Deal? Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll both finish the doc before next show. And then we're going to talk about the second half. So I've only seen 40 minutes. So do you remember anything about the Pau Gasol trade?
No. That was sort of before my time as a true Grizz fan. Like I knew of the Grizzlies. I followed them, obviously, being in Memphis. Yep. But I wasn't a true fan at that point.
Yeah. So do you know anything centered around the Powell trade? It was like Jarvis Crittenden, in a sense. He was one of the better players.
I don't remember that specifically. I remember the talk and the dominant talk around it, which is we just became a feeder team for the Lakers, fed them a championship,
exactly.
And then fell into Marc Gasol.
Yeah. So it was one of the worst trades probably ever that anybody's ever done because they brought back Kwame Brown, which was not good at all. And he was like a huge bust. So they were able to get off of him. Jarvis Crittenden was a guy that was actually a decent NBA player. He was fine. And then it was a couple throw-in guys, I believe. I'm not exactly positive. And then it was Marc Gasol, the rights to Marc Gasol. And it was two first-round picks. One of those guys was Grievous Vasquez. And so that was
Grievous.
Obviously, he was a somewhat good player. It wasn't great, but he was a decent guy. Well, the thing about the Pau Gasol, and you'll see this in the doc, is Pau Gasol was very much a guy that the Grizzlies were trying to keep happy. Like, they were always reaching out to him and always saying, hey, we're going to make this trade, or we made this trade. This is the reason why. And so he was a guy that just like a, you know, I don't know, a Kobe or probably Ja on this team. Like, you're going to go back and say, hey, just so you're aware, this is, we're going to loop you in because you're so important to this franchise. And so Pau was that guy. And so a lot of people don't realize that, but also Pau was one of the better players on this team. It's just that the ancillary pieces around him were garbage. And a lot of people hated his playing style.
Yeah.
Well, they spoke with him, and coming up into the draft where Marc Gasol had just had a decent season out in Spain, he told, who's the GM for the Grizzlies that everybody hated?
Wallace. Chris Wallace.
Who?
Chris Wallace.
Chris Wallace. Thank you. Sorry. He kept telling him, go get Marc Gasol. Go get Marc Gasol. And so he never did, right? He said he kept trying to. They didn't have a second rounder that year, and so they weren't able to go get him. And so they finally tried to make some trades. Nothing would happen. They tried to trade with the Lakers. The Lakers ended up drafting Marc Gasol. Well, then he went and dominated that year into whenever it was, and I think it's FC Barcelona. Well, come full circle, they tried to trade with the Lakers, and they wouldn't do it because the Lakers, can you assume how much money they wanted for that pick? This is back in, is it 08 maybe? I'm not sure. Anyway,
$300,000, which was $5 billion back then. Feels like. I don't know.
No, so it was 500 grand. That's what that much they wanted. They wanted 500 grand.
I was close. I was just playing around.
They wanted 500 grand, and they did not pull the trigger at all. And so now they didn't pull the trigger, and so they didn't go get Marc Gasol to make their star happy. Just so we're crystal clear. $500,000 to make the star happy, they wouldn't do it. And you know what Pau asked? Pau said, can you take it out of my contract? And they said, no. Bro, the funny thing about all that is when they went to go figure everything out and they finally made the trade for Pau to the Lakers, whatever, they had to pay FC Barcelona, I think that's who the team is, to actually get the true rights, because he was already under contract with that team to get his rights to bring him to the United States. Can you guess how much they had to pay?
$500,000.
$3.3
million. Dude, there's been no one that's just been like so sneakily garbage. And then it all just like got exposed once he was done. Yes. Like, everyone sort of knew he wasn't all that great, but he fell into all that stuff.
Yeah.
Now it's just like the more that comes out, the further away you get from it is like the opposite of all the greats. Like, the further away you get from all the greats, the more you're like, God, they were amazing. Man, they were awesome. Like Hubie Brown. The further you get from Hubie Brown, the more awesome he gets. And he was awesome in the time.
That's usually how it happens, right?
Well, and now it's like, God, he was terrible. God, he was so much worse than we thought. It's crazy. That's crazy. He offered to take it out of his own contract, and they said no. Yeah, that is so wild.
As D'Angelo said, what a big brother. And I don't think you could take it out of a contract, so I get it. But the fact that you're saying, like, I will give up 500 grand for you personally to go get him, like restructure my contract, whatever. And at that point, okay, let me just crystal clear. I don't know if this is possible. Why don't you just somehow try to finagle some amount of money into an extension of some sort, some kind of bonus structure to where you make it where he won't actually get that money? Because I would have guaranteed he would have paid and said, you know what? I know I'm going to lose that 500 grand, but that's this, you can have it. I don't know, whatever, but there's gotta be there. I don't know.
It's just, that's just insane.
It doesn't make sense, but overall, crazy. Yeah. Overall, what you'll see in this doc, and I don't want to spend too much time on it, and we'll kind of get out of here after this, and I'll answer any questions. Anybody has any questions? I will say, go watch it. because it from my point of view so far, it brings you back to the grit and grind era. What do you think of when you think of Marc Gasol? Like, just as a player, as his time here, anything you think of him? Like, just I'm talking about as the player, not a moment, but as the player. What do you think of him?
Clutch. Just like, it's one of those dudes who is like clutch, but also just solid. And it's a way I would describe, you know, we talked about this last game that we did with Zebo. And it's like that whole core four, they kind of just all tie together. But when I think of each of those guys, it's one of the things that stands out. It's like they're just solid, man. Every one of them is just solid. Like, you can always count on them to do what they need to do, right? It's like, you know, we live in this Grizzlies era where it's like they may shoot 45% from the free throw line some nights, it feels like. And when you had the core four, it was just like, man, it just – you never had to worry about that. You know, when we had like how do you put this? Like disputes or like culture problems, that kind of thing with them, it always felt crazy to hear that. And you always assumed, okay, who in the organization is a problem? It's those guys are just not it. And Mark was at the center of all that, right? Because Zebo was kind of like the dude, right? We talk about the greatest Grizzly of all time. I said Zebo, right? And then Mike Conley, you felt like was a guy who completely steered the ship, but you felt like Mark was the one at the center of it all.
Okay.
That's why the captainship thing with Fizdale was such a big deal.
Mm.
Because it was like, he is the guy. Like, you talk about an engine with the Pistons. Man, like, Mark sort of was the main engine. Like, Zebo was the NOS. Zebo was the turbocharger, right? And Conley was the captain of the ship, or the pilot. But Mark was the core of that, it felt like. And so that's – when you think about that, it's sort of like it's – all those guys are always going to be tied together in a way, but each of them played their significant part.
Yeah.
And I felt like Mark – I don't know, because Zebo kind of was the heart guy of that too. But I did feel like Mark was the guy. Like, if you – like, Mark was the one who led them all, right? And that's what it always felt like. Now, I don't know the ins and outs, right? I wasn't there. But it's what it felt like. But it's just one of those dudes who – it's the same thing. We talk about family, pals trying to give up $500K to get him on the team. Right. They're also very familial people, like, truly. Like, they're sort of – staples in Memphis as well, right? The same way Zebo is, the same way Tony is now, the same way I'm sure Mike will be once he retires. Like, Mark and the whole Gasol family is like a huge like staple in the Memphis community and cares about the Memphis community. So I don't know, man, there's just so many feelings about it, and every single one of them is positive.
So one thing about it, I will say this. Sorry, here we go. They needed all four. They covered each other. That's what I want to talk about real quick. I know that somebody had a question. Was it King Mix? Who is the heart of the core four? You know, I don't know, because you hear the all heart grit grind from TA. I don't think T.A. was a leader. And as so many of you, I scroll through just putting up as many of the I guess, the really just summarization of who he was, like leadership and so on and so on. I really do think that Mark was like the centerpiece of it all. And the reason I say that is because you had Conley, who is the nice guy. And he wanted to win and had a very much of a drive to be the steady rock, right? Yeah. Just steady Eddie. He was always going to give you what he gave you. And he was clutch as well, and he was always consistent. And then you're talking about the NOS of Zebo. Zebo was the X factor almost every night. Like, he was the guy that was going to literally like make you just give up, because he was going to just keep on and just keep like just pounding every night to where you're just like, all right, bro, I'm done. Like, I'm done. And then Tony is so crazy, because he was atrocious on offense, but he did so many little things like deflections to steals, to actually like, you know, flying around on defense just to cover people that miss assignments or whatever it might be. he was that guy that you could always count on just to kind of not need the ball, but be on the defensive. But then there was Mark. I feel like Mark was almost the center, kind of the center of it all, because he wanted to make sure that whatever he did, he was consistent each and every night. And you'll see that in the doc, where his drive to not lose, not even to win, to not lose, was stronger than everybody else's, in a sense, because everybody had their issues, right? But I think he was never satisfied, and he was so angry, in a sense, and so upset that he was not able to bring a championship to Memphis. And so you'll hear about that. And that's really what kind of hit home, is like having somebody say that, and you're like, my God, like, bro, that was that. It meant something to him, because he grew up playing here, you know, at Lausanne. They went back, and then he came back again. And then they are the reason that the Grizzlies are the Grizzlies. Like,
yeah,
it is not because of Powell. And I want to ask this question real quick. Who's better, Mark or Powell?
Dude. I mean, I can't say – I can't answer this without bias. As a Grizzlies fan, I want to say Mark, man. I don't know. It's like I have to say Mark as a Grizzlies fan, but I'm not positive it's true, if I'm being honest. I think Powell might edge him. But I don't know. Powell played with Kobe. So it's like, it's what do you do with Powell's not with Kobe? But Powell was awesome too. Like, I don't know. As a Grizzlies fan, I have to say Mark. That's my cop out. I have to say Mark is a Grizzlies fan.
I honestly don't know if I could answer that. I will say that I think it's Mark, just because I felt like he could spread the floor a little bit. And I felt like his defense was a little bit better than Powell's. All right, go ahead. Derek Rose fan 23 says Mark was Jokic before Jokic. That's all I must say.
Mark was the beginning of that. I do feel like Mark was the beginning of that kind of facilitation, like do it all type of center. Like it does. When I think back, and I'm sure, like, I'm not the basketball historian. Plenty of people are.
Right.
But when I think about it, I'm like, man, Mark really felt like the beginning of that. Like, I think that's pretty spot on.
So what I will say is, Ryan's saying, you know, Jokic essentially was like kind of an evolution of Mark's game. Like, he kind of evolved from that. The reason I give it to Mark, for one, he played here, and we are biased as hell. But I will say that whenever I saw him get slimmer, I don't want to say skinny because he was never skinny, but slim up, that's really where he went to another stratosphere for me, because he looked faster. His defense was just incredible those years. And so whenever he slimmed up after his first few years, when I think he started watching what he was eating and doing that, in a sense, I really do think that's what put it over. But they had such different games. I believe Lightning to DJ said the same thing. Like, their games were very, very, like, different. And so I like Powell. I hated Powell for Memphis because he was not Memphis. Like, Mark was Memphis. Even though Mark was literally, like, the same version but a little bit bigger, he wanted to eat your heart out, like, literally. I think I have to go with Mark. But if you get Mark with Kobe, who do you think is better? Mark and Kobe, Mark or Powell?
I'm not doing this. Nope. That's bait.
Hey, so your guy.
By the way, oh, God. Shout out, Chuck. Get him. Get him, Chuck. By the way, let me – 1985 – so Jaren is 25 years old and year what, 5?
Yeah, at
least. You know how old Marc Gasol was when he played his first NBA game?
24.
23.
Oh.
Very close. Anyways, all that to say, just paving the way for future NBA greats like Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yeah, for sure. All right.
No Jaren hate is tolerated at this
point. I want to answer this from Blackney DJ. I have not seen in that about the Stephen A. rant about the trade. I did not see that. I am to the point where I think they're past the trade and they're talking to Mark about kind of his first few years of Memphis. And so I don't believe they ever – if they hit the trade again, then that I'm unaware. But as of right now, I can say no. Through the first 40 minutes, they did not play the Stephen A. Smith rant. And shout out to Michael Blevins. If you don't follow him, like, great work. He did a Zeebo doc similar to this.
Yeah.
I don't think it was. I don't think it was as long. This is an hour and 40 minutes, I believe. And so it was pretty awesome. So, anything else or any questions that you might have? We are still talking about the doc, Kaylee.
sort of. I don't know. He's talking about Zeebo pounding them and stuff.
See,
like
the
that.
Doc is too good. See, I'm gonna try to watch the rest of the doc tonight.
No, I'll watch that before next game for sure. I love the 50 for the city doc.
Yep.
No, it wasn't awesome. As long. Was like tearing up.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm excited to see. Hopefully, hear a little bit more behind the doors. And Mark comes off at least as a very reflective guy. I would be very intrigued to hear the things he looks back at and thinks, like, man, that was what really solidified my experience in Memphis for me versus, like, the things, oh, I wish I would have done this a little bit different type of thing. And here's some of those ins and outs. I always think that's super interesting. And as people who are still trying to make our way, I mean, you're probably older than Mark Gasol, but I'm not. Either way, people who have been really successful always think it's great to listen to, like, them reflect upon things they wish they'd have done different or things that really help make them who they are. And then it's like, I don't think you and me are going to make it in the NBA, just throwing that out there. But we have our own things as men who are trying to have careers, have families, be fathers, things like that. And you can always apply certain lessons to that. So always think that's really fascinating to listen to, and we can all learn a lot from that every time. So I'm super excited for that.
Yeah, it was very good. It was great seeing kind of the evolution, because it showed him at Lausanne and the thick boy. Like, he was thick, he was tall. Like, he was just a monster. He said he weighed like 340 pounds at one point. Like, he was just a big guy. Imagine, like, literally he was DJ Burns. And so playing for the North Carolina NC State. And so he was kind of that size, right? And then he went over there and went to professional basketball, had a coach that really saw something in him, and really just was able to mold him into the player, kind of slimmed him down a little bit, started dominating, had better players around him. And then he got over here and wanted to just win and wanted to be great. And so it was great. And so, as Black Ninja DJ saying, you know, he did have grit and grind engraved in his championship ring. It's grit and grind, not Memphis, I believe. And so, yeah, it was, dude, Kaylee says they called him the Big Burrito in high school. That is funny. I've not heard that, or I missed it.
Delicious.
Yeah, he was delicious. You know what else is delicious? Heaven's Healthy Kitchen. Shout out to those guys, or shout out to Emmanuel. You know, amazing. Heaven's Healthy Kitchen is obviously a vegan gourmet food. Is it really all vegan? Let me read this real quick. Plant-based and vegan gourmet foods. Is that the same? Do we know?
Plant-based and vegan? Not necessarily.
Okay. Listen.
Plant-based is more like vegetarian. Vegan is you don't eat any kind of animal products whatsoever.
I have no idea, but I believe you. It's good meat. It's good food in general. The pop-up, April the 7th, Heaven's Healthy Kitchen. Tell me next Sunday, Heaven's Healthy Kitchen pop-up. Make sure, if you are in town, make sure you get it. It's right after the Mark Gasol game, I believe, the next day, because it's Saturday, the Sunday. Maybe Mark Gasol will go there. I think he went to plant-based or vegan or both or all the above. But it is a chicken sandwich with potato wedges. So it says something afterwards. Savory? No, it's not that one. S-A-V-I-O-R.
Savior?
Savior? Chicken Savior sandwich?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know if that was another way of saying it's not real chicken.
You just got done with Eastern. You don't know how to say Savior?
I just thought it was different. Shut up. So April the 7th, 12 p.m. is when it's going to start, I believe. And so I do believe that Mark is vegetarian, if I'm not mistaken. Kaylee, find that out for us. Kaylee, get on. Find another article. But it's got potato wedges, vegan oxtail plate, bro, red beans and rice, and then the lemonade, which has chlorophyll in it. You know what I mean? Chlorophyll. No, but there's also peach cobbler, St. Lucia's, sea moss gel, gold. I don't know what that means, but I believe you. Anyway, shout out to Heaven's Out the Kitchen, a proud sponsor of Grizz 901. He's a Memphian, support local, as you obviously all do. And as Kaylee says, he's semi-vegetarian, as in like, bruh, I try.
It's like me. I'm vegetarian except for bacon and steak and chicken.
There was no read, Ryan. Get out of here. But is there sea moss gel? I'm just reading the menu, guys. Look, the menu. Go over to orderhhk.com, and it will check out the entire menu. You'll see it all for yourself. But it literally has everything on it that he'll have. So make sure you go in and put your order in. And do it before the 7th. Don't wait till the 7th because it's all going to be gone. So let's all, as a community, try to do it by the 5th. Okay, let's not be stupid. So by Friday before midnight, go ahead and put in your order if you need some of that sea moss. I need some of that sea moss. I don't know what sea moss is. No idea.
It's moss from the sea.
Shut up.
I just can't believe he didn't know. We're like 2 days removed from Easter. One day, and he didn't know how to say savior.
So I thought it was something different because it does say, vegan oxtail. Okay, and then it says the chicken savior sandwich. I thought it was meant to be something different because it says vegan oxtail. I thought it'd be something that, anyway. All right. Yeah, go ahead and pre-order the sea moss, pre-order everything. It is super nutritious, but shout out Heaven's Healthy Kitchen. Order it by Friday at midnight on the 5th. The 7th is the pickup date, 12 p.m. on. You can go to orderhhk.com and check all that, the entire menu out. Anything else you have, and I don't even know who we're going to have in your and whenever you're leaving. I know you're out Friday and then the next two games after. I've asked a lot of people. I have been told no. As of recently, I just found out that free basketball, free breakfast, whatever his name was, they are not going to be
breakfast,
whatever his name is. He's never helped us out. So shout out to him for never coming through for me ever in life. So sorry. Thanks for nothing. So he will not be on the show and probably never. Anything else you got for tonight?
That felt personal. I am not privy to any of this. Keith, we can be friends. No, Gigi. I think Gigi, it was a quiet-ish Gigi night. The one-on-one defense for Gigi has been pretty impeccable. So I think that has been awesome. He still gets lost on team defense a little bit, but his feel for the game continues to get better and better. And even on games where he's not exploding offensively, tonight, one-on-one defense, saw some really awesome stuff out of him. Yeah. So I think that bodes even better than seeing him go 7-for-12 from three on a given night for his trajectory. Because we already know he can do the offense. Him doing a defense just shows a true, like, feel, understanding of the NBA game. I was super encouraged by what I saw from him tonight.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it was a good game out of a lot of people overall. I don't want to take too much into it just yet, but I like the encouragement of seeing Jaren take over. I hope that he continues to ask for the ball whenever the other guys get back here. So, listen, last thing I'll say, Jaren had a bad game tonight from Goon.
Incorrect. Falsehoods. Lies. The great deceiver. Not after Easter, Goon. No great deceivers in the chat.
All right, that's all we got. Listen, I hope y'all had fun. We try to have fun with it. We're gonna actually do similar the same show to tonight. We're gonna do that on Wednesday, and so it's gonna be Nate's last show for about a week. And so we have 7 games left. He's gonna be on here Wednesday and then miss the next 3. So everybody's aware. I'm gonna try to bring in some other people. I know Francis Carlotta, who does the post game shows for the Memphis Tigers, has asked to be on one of the shows. So he'll be here for sure on one of the three that Nate's missing. I'm going to try to stay away from the ones we always have on the show. But as you all know, we'll probably end up having Ryan. Ryan's always he's in the chat now. But I'm going to try to get some other people who have not been on here that y'all all wanted to hear things from potentially. And so I'm not going to bring on Chip Williams, as you all know, maybe who Chip Williams is. He's a draft expert, very similar to what Ryan is. But I want to save him because we have some stuff after the season to talk about that will be draft related. So we'll have him on then.
Save him for marriage.
Yeah, saving. We'll save him. That's all we got. I hope you all had fun. It's been a good night. It's going to be a good week. So that's all we have. We'll see y'all next Wednesday. Be nice and tell your friends.